This is episode 5 of Drupalcast, your one-stop shop on all things education and the arts. I am Jeremy Solomon and with me today is Priya Muthukumar. Priya is an obsessive learner, a book lover, a mother of a teen, and a passionate storyteller who delights in the simple pleasures of life. She is the founder of the storytelling company Storypur, based in Bangalore. She tells stories of all kinds from different places to across all age groups. She's been telling stories in railway stations, parks, literature festivals, corporate offices, schools, and colleges, to name a few. She strongly believes that sharing relevant stories is important, as stories can mold and reshape mindsets. Join us as we discuss, among other things, stories in education, integration, sustainable stories, and stories across cultures. Hey Priya, what's up? How's life?
Hi Jeremy, all good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. And I also want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to be a part of this podcast. And I know how extremely busy you are with all the different things you're doing. So thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm hoping to have an extremely fun, entertainment, educative conversation with you.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy. It's really a pleasant surprise, actually, when you had asked me to come on board. And it's not that I'm all the time, busy. It so happens that, sometimes it's all cramped together, everything together. And sometimes I'm pretty much chilling out. Anyway, I'm looking forward to a wonderful conversation with you.
Awesome. Great. And as you would have seen, and as the viewers and listeners also know, in the past few podcasts, we always start with a little game. So I didn't tell you what this game is, and I normally don't tell them because that makes this a little more fun. But we're going to play a game, and this is the first time I'm going to be playing this game with you on an online thing. And even on an online thing, I'm playing this game for the first time. So it's still in its experimental stages, but I must say that it's snippets from different places taken together and put together into this little game. Okay, so what we're going to do is I am going to share my screen, and on my screen there are four professions. Okay, there are four professions, and I'll tell you what they are right now: lawyer, electrician, teacher, and dentist.
Okay.
What I want to ask you is, would you like to add or remove any professions of your own?
Okay. These are some random professions.
Random,
right?
Random.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to add anything, remove anything, or is it okay as it is?
As it is, it's fine.
Okay, cool. So what I will do is I will share my screen. Okay. And on the share screen, you will see that I am able to spin this around. So wherever it spins, whatever it lands on, that will be who we are. Okay, so the first one it lands on is going to be you. The second one it lands on is going to be me. All right, so are we ready to spin?
Yes.
Okay, spinning now. Okay, so you are going to be a lawyer, okay? And I am going to be a lawyer. So both of us are lawyers over here, okay? Now, both of us are lawyers. And now what I'm going to do is, I am going to go into different locations. Okay, locations. So I'm going to start us off, and I am going to say forest. Okay, forest. Okay. And I'm going to ask you to give me the second location.
Forest. School.
School. Beautiful. I'll give the third one, which is bus stop. Okay, can you give me the fourth location?
Circus. It's not a location exactly.
That's fine, I guess.
Fine, na? Okay.
Yeah, circus. Okay. Now I'm going to share my screen again and we'll see where these two lawyers are going to be.
I'm pretty much clueless. What's happening?
Okay. So we have four locations and both of us are lawyers. Let's see where we are going to be. Oh, wait. What just happened? School. We landed in school. So we are two lawyers in school. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
We are two lawyers in school. Now, what we're going to do is, there is a problem over here with the two of us. What is a problem that lawyers normally face?
I should answer this?
You can tell me. You can tell me. So we are trying to give ourselves a situation.
At school, is it?
At school, we are the two lawyers. Why are we in school? What are we doing?
Why are we in school? What are we doing? I don't know, probably my kid has joined the school. That's it. And I'm a lawyer by profession.
Okay. Awesome. So let's make this a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Both of us, let's say that I have a kid as well. I don't, by the way. But my character has a kid. And both of our kids are in school. And it's the first day of school. And these kids, they're taking the kids and they're very excited to go back to school. But it just so happens that in the courthouse, you and I are opposing lawyers.
Okay.
And that is reflected when we bump into each other in school.
Okay.
Okay, right. So from there, we have to continue the storyline with this situation.
Okay, fine.
Okay, is that cool?
Right, I got it.
Okay, cool. So I'll start us off. And then we shall continue with each other, okay? Priya, what are you doing here in this school?
Oh, Mr. Solomon, I didn't expect to see you here.
Neither did I. I'm just putting my son in the school. Last year he was in another school. This year he wanted to join this school. I didn't think you would be here in this school.
I too didn't expect to see you.
What is he doing here?
Anyway,
my child wanted to be in this school. So, you know, we had to put her in this particular school. But I'm very happy to meet you. Oh, I didn't expect to see Mr. Solomon here.
I'm very happy to meet you as well. In fact, I'm also happy to inform you that my son has actually decided to become a lawyer as well. So he's heading down a very successful path.
Oh, so your son?
I'm sure he's going to be equally successful, you know, just like you, or probably even better.
I'm hoping that he would be better than me, because if he has to be better than the best, and as a father, that's the only thing I have to hope for a child.
I'm sure, as if I don't know about you. I've heard so much about you. I've seen you in action, Mr. Solomon. Yeah, and he's after all your son, right? Goes without saying.
It goes without saying, absolutely. In fact, you know, in his previous school, he was topper in all the subjects. He was the best in all the sports, but I had to move because of my job. So we had to transfer here and I had to come to this school. But I'm sure even in this school, he will be the topper in everything.
Yes. How much he talks, I'm just trying to avoid him. Here also, I've met him. Okay. I think it's time for us. The teacher is calling us. So if you please, I would love to talk to you. You know, I would love to introduce you to my entire family, but please excuse me, yeah?
Definitely. By the way, you know something. I think that we have that case coming up, no? That case where that man was carrying an ostrich in his car. I think...
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think definitely we don't, that case won't last very long. I am definitely going to have all the paperwork and everything in place. After I win the case, we should definitely meet for coffee after that.
Yeah, of course. I'm just waiting for that day, okay? Right, we'll see. We will see later, sir.
Okay,
Huh? Okay, sir. Thank
we'll
you.
see. Yeah, nice to
Sure.
meet you.
Very
See you
nice to meet you,
later.
sir. Yeah, see, see, see. Skip.
All right. Yeah, so Priya.
Jeremy, that was pretty tricky, huh?
Yeah.
I was kind of stuck lawyers in the school and then an ostrich. You are great, huh?
Yeah. So this is I can't take a lot of credit for this game. A lot of this goes to ICB Improv Comedy Bangalore, and they do a lot of improv jams online, and I've taken a lot of these ideas and concepts from there, so credit where credit goes. But I must say that you were a very good improv sparring partner.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thanks, thanks. Yeah.
that was fun. And another thing that I do in these interviews is right now we are in the age of the internet where everyone's information's everywhere, and if I want to know anything
Okay.
about you, I can just go on Instagram or
Yeah.
LinkedIn and just find out things about you, right?
Right,
So I'm
right.
not really going to introduce you per se right now, but I want to
Right.
ask if there is maybe two or three very interesting and very unique things about you that I cannot find anywhere, what would it be?
I think about cooking. I cribble a lot if I have to cook. I'm not one of those people who says, "Wow, let me do it like this. Let me collect recipes." I don't know why I've always been like that. But trust me, when I cook, it's really good. So I'm one of those cooks. I'm a procrastinator. I'm super lazy. But when I really want to cook something, it turns out to be good. And those are very rare moments. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I like to dance, but I'm not a dancer, nor have I learned dance or anything, but I just enjoy dancing. Again, those things happen very rarely. I absolutely go with the flow and live in the moment. When there's dance, when there's no structure, when there's no one telling, "Oh, this is the step, that is the step," So I'm that kind of a dancer. And the third thing is I am a lazy person, I told you. Yeah, very much. There have been many of those questionnaires and interviews and chats where they ask you right from your childhood, "What is your favorite hobby?" I've also managed to answer like drawing, painting, and this and that. But at this point of time in my life, if you ask me all these years, I think the favorite thing which I like to do is sleeping. I'm not saying this because it sounds funny or nothing, nothing like that. I really love to sleep, and I can sleep at any point of time, at any place. I can just forget. It's also my best, I want to escape from a situation or there is a challenge. I don't know how to handle it. I can just lie down on the sofa and go to sleep. Just, it's one way of escaping, So, yeah, that's one thing.
Awesome, very, very interesting. And I think initially I'm going to break the fourth wall over here and say that right now you and I are in our own homes and we are online and we're meeting like this and we're recording this meeting on our phone and
Your voice is breaking, Jeremy. Can you repeat that for me?
Yes, am I clear now?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So I was just saying that I'm going to break the fourth wall a little bit by saying that
Right.
right now we are sitting in our different homes and we're taking this meeting on Zoom and we're using our separate phones to record each other. And I just
Right.
thought of an idea because Priya, you were saying earlier that there is a high chance that your phone might stop recording in the middle, right? So what we'll do is we'll divide this conversation into segments, into parts. So right now, let's say that we've come to the end of part one. So maybe what you can do is you can stop recording and start recording again, and then we'll go into part two of this interview. Is that good?
Yeah, that's
yeah, awesome. So you can stop and start and tell me when we can go.
Okay, so let me first switch off.
Yes.
Give me a moment.
A few moments later. And welcome back to part two of this interview with the lovely Ms. Priya over here. And to start off the second segment of this interview, I just want to go back to the first time you and I crossed paths. And this was at, I think it was Banani Vista's event. I don't remember the entire story that you told, but I still remember the way you told this, because if my memory serves me right, this was a Spanish story, and that's it right. Had to do with the sunlight and with there was some flowers and everything, but you made all of us do these actions, and it was so mesmerizing, and it was just lovely to be an audience in that performance. And as soon as that happened, I think we did share the stage a few other times after that as well, but I will never forget that performance and how it felt to be part of that. And I think you are just a wonderful person to begin with, and that reflects in your storytelling, and I think that's simply just a really, really nice thing, Priya.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. That's very kind of you to appreciate a fellow performer. You've been absolutely generous. Go ahead.
Right. Something. And when I think about that, I always think about what made you go into storytelling as a profession, because that's something that's a little weird to even say, storytelling as a profession. Of course, everyone tells stories. We tell our kids, we heard it from our parents and grandparents in school. As we're studying, they tell us to write stories, tell stories, and it seems to be a very common thing. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about how you started this journey and where we're at now?
If you ask me, I've always been this person who goes with the flow, right? So I don't know. I think that's an innate quality. I'm not sure whether it's good or wrong. It's a debatable topic. I really don't know. But then it has worked for me. That's how I've been. And I did my pharmacy. I'm a pharmacy graduate. And I there too, I enjoyed doing that, you know, absolutely no regrets. I've said this in a few other places also. Organic chemistry was my favorite subject. And, you know, several other things happened. I had to move from one city to the other. You know, it was part of my personal journey. And then I came here to Bangalore. And when I came to Bangalore, that's when my exposure to the education sector actually began, you know. Until then, it was just, you know, people go to school, you went to school, I went to school. It was more like that. I don't know, several things kind of fell into place. I had to get an admission for my child. So I visited several places, and then she got admission into a particular school. And I started understanding several aspects of, you know, teaching and learning. And I thought, why not give it a shot, you know? And that's exactly when I got an opportunity to become a teacher in that particular school itself, purely by accident. And as I told you, I started observing, I started learning on the go. You know, I didn't have a B.Ed. degree then, nor do I have one. But then I started learning on the go, like what ticks, you know, what works. And I started understanding several philosophies. It's one after the other. And then the next thing had to happen, twist in the tail happened. when one fine day I thought, let's tell a lot more stories, you know, and I decided to quit that particular wonderful profession. And I thought, let's tell stories, and started telling stories. I started my own brand with a lot of support from friends and family. It was a very small thing, you know. It was a gut feel, you know, more of an intuitive thing, you know. Let's do it. Whatever happens, let's do it and see how it goes. And since then, there have been several people who have kind of helped me. You know, there were someone who had a bookstore. She gave me space to conduct this particular storytelling sessions. Then by word of mouth, you know, there's someone else who conducted a mela. She called me on board. And then schools who approached me. So it was like every time I went to these different places, I started telling different kinds of stories. And I learned on the go, you know, how there are different kind of audiences, different contexts, different scenarios. So everything I learned, how to handle challenges, how to get the audience attention, how to keep them hooked up, you know, throughout your session. So all this, and what didn't work out, there have been several instances where certain things actually has kind of didn't work out, you know. So then, okay, from there onwards, I will not do the same thing. So then what else? So it's mostly by trial and error, you know, this or that. So over the past 8 years, that's how I've learned. And many people have generously helped me, you know, a lot of hand holding, people who have supported me, people even now, they stand by me, they cheer me, random people, strangers, you know, have the trust and faith and say, hey, she's conducting a storytelling session at this particular store every second Saturday. Let's see what happens. Now, there have been times when there have been 2 children, when there have been 20 children. There have also been schools and literature festivals where there have been, you know, 300, 400, you know, that kind of. So, it has kind of evolved in a very organic way. The universe has helped me. From my side, if you ask me, I think it's hard work. And I really believe in hard work. You know, I think there's no substitute to hard work. Things might change, times might change, but it's the thing, you know. So that's how the journey has been so far. I'm glad the space where I am in, you know. There have been a lot of ups and downs, a lot of learnings, a lot of mistakes. But overall, if you see, it has been a satisfying journey so far. Yeah,
right, that's actually very inspiring to hear. And a lot of people talk about the leap from maybe corporate into something, into the arts, or they are working in they're doing a very difficult shift and they want to go into teaching and everything. But it's very interesting to hear you being in pharma and then coming from there into something like this. And it's like you're leaving something with love, coming into something with love, I would understand. Yeah. And but it's interesting to think about this. And at the same time, I want to ask you what roles there's things like storytelling or similar things that you do as well. What role does that play in education or within the school system?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. See, at a very basic level, if you see, many teachers, educators, facilitators, you know, there's a lot of stress and strain as to getting the attention of the children. Okay, and I'm sure you are very much aware, all our attention spans are very limited, you know. We belong to that kind of actually I belong to a different generation, frankly speaking, but right now that's the scenario. So that is where stories and storytelling come, you know, telling stories just for the sake of fun, no strings attached. I really like that. You know, in fact, I encourage facilitators to say, keep the 5 minutes, when you enter the first 5 minutes of your class, keep it for storytelling, or the last 5 minutes of your storytelling. To tell a story, any story, old, new, the story that you're making up, you know, every day. Children just love it, you know. The emotional connect and this face-to-face interaction, the simple idea of interacting, talking, you know, that has come down. So, somewhere I think there is a need, there's a lacuna, there's a gap to fill it up. So people want to talk, people want to listen, that's the truth. And that's exactly where stories and storytelling comes, you know. It works, invariably it works, you know, when you tell stories. And that too, when we have a fixed routine as to every last 5 minutes I'm going to tell you a story, it's habituation, you get habituated. So it invariably works, and a lot of things. So you get your child's, student's attention, the number one thing. You establish a lot of emotional connect with your students, because when I tell a story, I can talk from my childhood also, you know, how I was a little girl, how I used to go in a rickshaw to school, you know, it triggers a lot of conversation. And then another child will say, ma'am, I come in the school bus, ma'am, ma'am, my dad drops me, my mom drops me. So see, that's exactly where we kind of come together, we meet at a midpoint, irrespective of our backgrounds, not just with children, with respect to anyone. So that is another thing. It bonding becomes easy there. That's another thing. When that happens, then you are also comfortable. You start talking about something which you wouldn't want to discuss, you wouldn't have thought. You know, you were angry, you were upset, you were frustrated. At that point of time, the story brings in all of that, the story which you choose to tell. So you're comfortable, and then you say, ma'am, you know what, the same thing happened to me the other day, you know, in the school bus, ma'am, I was so angry. And the child kind of opens up. You see, so there is scope for all such interactions. So that is the first level. But with respect to academic interest, if you ask me, an educational concept can be beautifully wrapped in a story and given, you know. It is easy, it's impactful, it stays in your mind, and more than anything, it's very interesting, you know. Like, it's the, for example, a math problem to, let's say, Ram and Raju. They wanted to buy mangoes, so they took their cycles, they went to the shop, they took their baskets as well. I'm just thinking a lot, okay. So Ram bought 4 mangoes, Raju bought 7 mangoes. Finally, they put it into one big basket. How many mangoes were there? See, this itself is like a story, you know, and you start imagining the mangoes, the basket, you can describe the clothes Ram and Raju wore, how the path was, how was their cycle journey. So it opens doors, you know, so much of creativity, imagination, participation, involvement. It's no longer me who's talking, it's both of us who are on the same page, you know, it's something like that. So that's exactly how the school, how we can use stories in a school space or with children.
Yeah, I think that's something that's very beautiful to hear about, because if you think of a subject like math, many people, and for the long time me included, might be actually afraid of that, because even if it's like simple addition, subtraction, multiplication, some people may not be the best at it. And as you go get into older grades, you start learning more complicated theories and concepts and things like that, right? And if you can somehow find a way to beautify it with a story, it would completely influence the learning process. And I am also a very big person who's for integrated learning. And personally, even in theater, I've seen it do a lot. So I think what you're doing also is like very good. And I would also say that if more people can do this, if you can integrate this more into the education system and find different ways to teach these subjects, I would think it's great and awesome. Talking about in school, I want to flip that coin around and talk to you about what's it like being a mom and a storyteller. Because at this same time, there are these, say, actors who play big roles like Captain America, and especially Robert Downey Jr. plays Iron Man, a very big role, and he'd come up and say, my child likes Thor better. He's not a big fan of Robert Downey Jr. And he's like one of the biggest actors in the world, right? So, do you face similar things like that? Or as a parent, when it comes to telling stories, do you find yourself performing to your child or just telling your child? Yeah, where do you see yourself in that regard?
It's a very interesting question. It's a tough question as well. So there is an overdose of stories. Okay. So I've always had this need of, okay, I shared this story with them. I need to give that to my own kid as well, that kind of. So there has always been an overdose of stories at home. That is one thing. Second thing is because I think I've become like that. I've evolved like that of late. I can be super dramatic at home. Okay. So all my arguments, conversations are all stretch, stretch, stretch. That's what my family members, both my husband and daughter, say that I can just go. Even a simple thing can be like, oh my God, did you do that? It's like that. So that's the flip side, probably you can say. But sometimes, we have certain important, not important, interesting discussions. So it's, yeah. So that's the thing. That's with respect to my daughter. With respect to my husband, he started liking some of my stories and he actually uses it in his professional space as well, So that's the nice part.
All right, awesome. It's nice to hear. And now we come to a middle of this conversation where we're moving away from what we've been talking about, and brings me to ask you, are you ready to answer some rapid fire questions?
Yes, Jeremy. Yes. Go ahead.
Awesome. So even though these are rapid fire, it's not a hard and fast rule. You can take your time to think about it, but for the most of it, try to answer as much as you can. Most of these questions will have and why at the end. So even if I don't ask and why, if you can explain yourself, if you feel the need that it needs explanation, you can do it, or else no. And if you're uncomfortable with answering any of the questions, you can just say pass.
Now you're making me nervous. Okay.
No, it's there's no need to be nervous. That's just a
Okay.
something that needs to be said, formality types. Yeah.
Oh,
Okay.
thanks. I'll try
So
my best.
yeah, let's go. When you're not working, how do you like to spend your time?
Sleeping, watching TV. That's
All
all.
right. What is your
And so.
favorite? Yeah. And?
And if food is available, I don't need to cook. I'm the happiest person. That's all I need. I'm a very simple person.
Nice. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book, The Alchemist, The Catcher in the Rye. I can never forget
All
those two
right.
books. Yeah.
Nice.
And I'm also the kind of person who can read everything, who will enjoy it, and then just move on. I'm more like that.
Okay. What is your favorite word?
Together, happiness.
Okay. What was your first job?
Okay, my first job was for a pharmaceutical company. Yes, was for a pharmaceutical company. I worked for almost 6 months. Yeah.
All right. What's one thing that you're excited about that's coming up in 2022? This doesn't necessarily have to be serious or professional. It can be.
Maybe I'm looking forward to it. I want to travel a lot more, a lot more. So as of now, I had a lot, until now, I mean, I had a lot of family commitments, looks like 2022 can be a little, I've spaced out. So I'm looking forward to travel.
Yeah, especially after the lockdown and everything, lockdown. Right? Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. All right. If you could win an Olympic medal for any sport, real or fake, what would it be?
Running, athletics.
Okay, why?
I don't know. Because I always felt that I could run fast. You know, I don't know why. Even when I was in school, I used to think, why no one is appreciating my talent? I can really run fast. Somewhere I felt I didn't train enough, you know. I don't know. It's like, I always have this false pride, looks like. So, probably.
All right. Okay. Cool. Where are we at? Yeah. What is your most used emoji?
Half closed laughing, you know. I use that often.
Okay. What does that mean? Like, what's the emotion behind that?
It's just giggling. Oh my God, you think I did that? Oh, you did that? You know, that kind of a thing.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. If you could change your name, what would it be?
No, I'm fine with this name. This name awesome. Has given me quite a lot.
Nice, nice. What was your favorite subject in school?
Science, biology, chemistry.
Okay. What's your hidden talent?
I think I can sing well, though I'm not super confident. I think I need to explore that.
Yeah, hopefully in a couple of, maybe months, let's say months, in one of these shows, maybe we'll hear you singing.
Oh, sure, then I'll know. I don't know. I usually play a lot of music while cooking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that gives me, it's a huge energy booster. So somewhere I've realized that in the past few months, I think especially to do with lockdown, yeah, I can sing well. Yeah, I should be singing, you know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Again, I am the only one who's saying that. No one else has told that to me.
All right. If someone were to play you in a movie, who would you want it to be?
I've never thought about any of those things. You mean director?
Who, the actor playing you? Actress, yeah.
No, instead of whom I should be?
No, if someone is playing you, so it's your life story and someone is playing you.
Trisha.
Okay. Cool, awesome. If you could spend a day in somebody else's shoe, who would it be and why?
I don't know. Of late, I've been seeing my child. She's in college. I've always been a learner. I suddenly want to go back to college. So, yeah, I would like to be a college student.
All right. What's one thing that your parents have taught you that has completely changed your life?
I don't know whether it has changed. It's been like that. Integrity, doing only what you believe in and doing only what makes you happy. That's it.
All right. What is one of your all-time favorite memories?
I can't think of anything. I think there are so many of them here and there flashing. Favorite memory... I don't know. Really don't know. There are so many of them. I don't want to pick any. All of them are important and special.
All right.
To me.
Awesome. So maybe as we go down this list, if you think of something, you can tell us. What's one thing about you that surprises people?
Surprises people? I don't know this. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay. Give me some time on that. I'll probably come back.
All right. Awesome. Who or what was your biggest teacher?
Who or what? I think I've imbibed a lot of qualities from my father. So I consider him to be my most important teacher in my life. Yeah. In fact, some of them have told me I walk and talk like him. So I think he should be my teacher. Yeah.
All right. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Just enjoy life. Go with the flow. Things will fall in place. Do not overthink it. That's it.
Okay. If you could instantly become an expert in anything, what would it be?
Imaginary, right? Hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetically. Yes, yes.
Expert in anything. Drumming. And driving.
All right. Okay. Cool. All right. What does success mean to me?
Success means basically feeling satisfied for yourself. That's the most important thing. And that satisfaction to me, if you ask me, comes from, yes, I've done what I think is right. It could be giving back. It could be making others happy. That's all. As simple for me. Success is just giving back and receiving your happiness and fulfillment.
Okay. And to end our rapid fire question, I would have to ask, at what job would you be terrible at?
I'll tell you, recently I had a conversation. Anything that's monotonous, you know, you have to do it, you have to do it. I would have been a terrible flop because I have these highs and lows. When I get an idea, you'll be able to understand it. It's a typical, the artist, performer, you know, that
Definitely.
Kind of act. When you get an idea, you are on a high, you stay awake, you finish it. But then suddenly you have these mood swings, you're down and you're just doing nothing for days together. So that's me. So I would have been very bad if I had to do a regular job, you know, a 9-to-5 kind mm-hmm. of a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. And you just told me what you'd probably be terrible at, but I want to talk with you about something that you're actually pretty good at. And if you could talk to me a little bit about your involvement in translation, that'll be great.
Okay. So, I'm not sure whether I'm pretty good. So Tamil is my mother tongue, and very nice person approached me one fine day, Mala Kumar. I'm really grateful to her. She was the then editor of Pratham Books. She had seen my storytelling, my Tamil storytelling, and she wanted me to translate one children's book. That's how the journey began. I've translated not many, 12 books I would have translated of different reading levels. I enjoy doing that. Because basically I have a flair for languages also. That is also something which I realized, you know, when I started doing this particular thing. So now where I am at is with respect to my speaking skills, my language skills, is where I'm making videos for an educational channel in language, in Tamil. So yeah, that's something which has, again, it is organically, I didn't go, but all this has helped me to hone my skills, you know, because I started translating, I had to kind of sharpen my, you know, what could be the word which is closest to this English word kind of a thing. So slowly, step by step, then I started doing Tamil storytelling for children in, you know, the rural areas of Tamil Nadu. So that helped them. And then someone said, why don't you make educational videos? So they get, you know, they are benefited. So that's where I am. Yeah. That's
all right.
That's
all right. That's awesome. That's great to hear. And I haven't really heard this concept of this phrase before, but I understand that you do this too. So can you explain to me a little bit about what sustainable stories are?
Okay, fine. So one important thing which I didn't tell you when I explained to you about my journey is why I left my job and then I took up storytelling, if you see, was to convey certain things which were bothering me. And one thing was, the most important thing was sustainability, environment and stuff like that. I mean, to use words is very common. Even then it was like that. But somewhere I felt we need to do something more. Why not use storytelling for this particular thing? So storytelling was a tool, continues to be a tool where I kind of share, that's it. I do not preach. I share what I think will work. It's worked for me, so why don't you try? You know, so that is the idea of my storytelling. When I say sustainability storytelling, it's stories which talk about how to be eco-friendly, how to kind of think twice before you go to the next room, leaving the light switched on. You know, there's no purpose, you're wasting electricity, and you know, things like that. So when I started doing that, I realized that there weren't many stories with respect to e-waste, electrical waste, electronic waste and things like that. So out of pure necessity, I had to write down some of the stories, and some of them, yeah, whatever few I wrote got published in magazines. So I keep telling those stories. Now what I do, I keep digging out stories. I realize that probably about e-waste, we don't have stories in our folklore, but there are stories on, you know, being using things again and again, recycling, reusing. There are so many stories. So it's always been a part of our culture. It's just that we haven't used those terms, you know. So yeah, so I kind of, and invariably also, I might be telling a story about something else completely different, but I make sure that there is something to relevant with respect to sustainability or environment. I make sure that I include that, you know, and then we have conversations. That's the, especially when it comes to school scenarios, I make it a point to have a few minutes, you know, discussion or conversation about, you know, what happened. Do you think this could be avoided if you were to kind of buy so many things which this man or this woman did it in the story? Will you be doing this? You know, that kind of a thing. So that really helps me to understand where my children, my students are, where I am, how we can kind of find a mid path kind of thing with respect to environment and eco consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Right. And how has the response to this been?
Okay. The response, if you ask me, there have been times when children remember this, come back to me and say, ma'am, you know what? We don't waste paper. We use both the sides of the paper, a kind of a thing. Discussion also, what they take back home, you know, they go and tell and all of that. But honestly speaking, if I have to be very honest, there are so many things happening. So yes, they tend to forget as well, you know. So somewhere there is a lot of peer pressure. If they are convinced with the story on eco-consciousness, they want to believe, they want to follow it. But when I go out, there's a very different setup. Someone else is doing something. So there is a tendency, I'm being very honest, there is a tendency to kind of follow that particular pattern. So that's where, as an in-house storyteller or a storyteller at school, I keep kind of having these discussions time and again. So then it stays with them for a longer time. When I do a craft also, I make sure that I use a newspaper. So again, you know, so that kind of messaging helps. They too bring in their own ideas. So it's a lot of trial and error, consistency, all those things.
Yeah. I mean, working with kids, it's always a big thing, like peer pressure and what my friends are doing, what happens around them. It's always a very big thing. And to work around that, you probably have to do a lot more experimentation to see what works and what's getting through to them. But in comparison, if you're talking about children, in comparison, what's it like offering storytelling as a general elective subject at the National Institute of Fashion Technology, of all places? What's that like?
Basically, if you ask me storytelling is is you know, everyone has understood the importance or has realized the significance of storytelling in different spaces. It could be different fields. It could be the professional space to connect with your team members, with your employees, to inspire your team if you're running a startup. The same way, you know, to convey certain things as part of your communication skill set. I mean, I can just put comma and keep adding to that, you know. What I exactly bring in or take to this particular space to these students is what is the big deal about storytelling? What are the elements associated? How can you talk convincingly and things like that? And the other thing is, how can you present your own paper, your presentation, your designs by using stories? And also, if you see, history, culture, stories go hand in hand. Just like how I use stories for, you know, to talk about sustainability, environment, history, culture, and stories really go hand in hand. Like, if I were to talk about a design, if I'm going to talk about a particular technique, a printing technique, you can actually go back to the story of how it emerged. And it's so interesting. It's so interesting. The whole thing gets a very different point of view, you know. So that's exactly what I do. We kind of dig deeper about this particular technique. What's the story? How did it all start? So there's a very interesting thing that comes. I remember doing this very similar thing with respect to medicine, in the sense, humanizing medicine. Someone invented the stethoscope. It's just a stethoscope. You look at it as a thing. That's it. But why did this person do it? What was the context, the story behind it? When I tell it, you somewhere connect with the person. So that person, his challenges, your challenges, somewhere they are similar. And now you look at the steth. It looks completely different because that's the whole idea of humanizing it, you know. So going back, with respect to math also, it's something. Someone's theorem, someone's theory, Archimedes' principle. So why did Archimedes even do this in the first place? You know, the story is so interesting. Then after telling the story, when I explain to you the principle, that's how it happened. So you start making connections and it stays in your mind. So that's exactly what we do here also.
Awesome. That's great. And I will directly assume that those students have an awesome time as well.
I am having an awesome time.
That's what matters.
Yeah. That connecting with them and somewhere you don't stay in your bubble, right? When you meet different kinds of people, you know, these are the needs, these are the requirements, these are my shortfalls, this is where I need to fill in. All those things are taken care of.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. And again, when it comes to storytelling and this entire thing about storytelling, how does consulting or consultancy work with that regard?
If you ask me, there have been times when people have said, like, this is the situation in our setup. We don't want to convey this directly. Can you use a story for that? So that's how stories have helped. There have been times when a particular concept had to be explained. I'll tell you, I worked on this beautiful thing for Bengaluru. Okay, and this was for a big group. And they wanted a very non-preachy, culturally connecting kind of a session. So I took them through the entire thing of, you know, how the name came and, what are the salient features of the particular, of the city, who were the prominent people, the flora, the fauna, all the stories associated about the Kabban Park and all of that. So this is basically had a good flow. So like this, when people approach me, I do a little bit of, you know, putting things together and offering it.
Okay, that's awesome. And I also understand that from all the videos and pictures and everything that you have, you will be sharing a small presentation with some of the snippets from the different things that you've done. So we'll be playing that now.
That is why he keeps hiding his ears. Not even one hair shows him, because he has what?
Donkey's
ears. Now I know, said one Maharani, some Maharani. And then someone said, so funny he looks, no? And we all started laughing. How did they laugh? They laughed and laughed. Over there came two huffy puffy clouds. Whoo, 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 whoo. Two clouds came floating this side and hid Yoshi completely. Yoshi tried his best, you know. Up he peeped, below he looked, but the clouds were too efficient. They wouldn't kind of let him escape. Okay, they hid him completely. That's when Yoshi the sun thought, I think the clouds must be the strongest, the most powerful ones. By now, the mountain spirit was a little tired, you know, really weary of this man and his wishes. But however, she was kind and she decided to grant him his wish. And she said, your wish shall be granted and you will become the cloud now. From a stone cutter to a rich man, from a rich man to the prince, from the prince to the bright
And Karthik went to the kitchen. It's not the right thing to do, but still he did it. He walked into the kitchen.
Hey, I was in that shop only.
I think I will just eat only one ragu, my share only, no. And quietly he went and he put his hand on that plate.
Out with my household work. Please contact me. She wrote it on a paper like a poster and she went in, stuck it on the wall. Okay? So people passing that side looked at the poster. Nobody was interested. But wait!
Parents and all the children of my age, you're free to join us. At least you get clapping.
Thank you for that, Priya. And with that, we come to the part that I have been waiting for throughout this entire interview, and that is to hear about you and Storypur. So you can tell me a little bit about Storypur. That'll be awesome.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. Storypur is something that was born out of, you know, many people are alarmed when I say this, but that's the truth, out of sheer frustration, you know. Yeah, something is not working out. I need to do something, but what am I actually going to do? You know, and I have always been this master of, jack of all trades, master of none, that famous tree. And that is always said in a very negative kind of sense. But trust me, that has worked in my favor. I can do this, 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 this. So that's how I put all that this, 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 this together, and I kind of imagined, created is a big word. What I mean to say is started Storypur with a lot of hand holding, lot of hands and lot of hearts came together. I will never ever forget them, and they're still there with me, every single person who has a trust and faith. And something that was started purely on the basis of passion and hard work. That's it. What is going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to click? Nothing. Up zero with respect to results. And it has taken me through all these 8 years. All these 8 years of experimenting, exploring. Every single day it's like that. Tomorrow I get a session. I don't know. I will try it. It may work. It may not work. If it works, good. I will replicate it. If it doesn't, we'll think about something else. You know? So, and what I have learned through Storypur is hard work, goodwill, clicks. Probably it is slow, but it does work. You know, I might sound old school, but that's how it is. I really truly believe in that. And today, if you ask me, Storypur, through Storypur, what I do is I reach out to schools, colleges, educational institutions, and through stories, several things are being conveyed and shared. Storytelling is and will remain the crux or the essence of Storypur. Environment, social responsibilities will always be the primary focus, though it will go here and there, but you know, that's the core. That kind of thing. That's it. The journey goes on. I'm not this person who has this, you know, vision statement, mission statement kind of a thing. But I do have these things which I want to happen. I want Storypur to get there or be there in the next few years. Let's see. That's it. So, yeah, you can find Storypur's work or, you know, how people have come together and things like that on social media handles like Facebook, like Instagram, and of course, YouTube channel, which again, only because of lockdown, it began. Otherwise, I'm not the virtual kind of person, but that also has worked in favor. Now I'm pretty much confident to record videos and put them up. So that's Storypur.
Yes. So far. And by the way, I have watched a lot of your videos and they're super fun to watch. I know they are made for children, but I sit and watch them and the child in me completely enjoys them as well. And you did say you can go on social media, different platforms. And for those of you who would like to find out, if you're watching this on YouTube, I will put all those links down in the description so you can go and check those out as well. And with that, Priya, we come to the very end of this conversation. And I would like to pick your mind with just one or two more things. If you have a message to children or students, what would it be?
Oh, wow, message and all are two big things. But, you know, as a slightly, you know, a person who has seen few things, lots more to come. The same thing only I would like to repeat. Hard work, follow your heart, you know. Do not try to, you know, do things that just because others are saying, just because my friends are doing, they have to be happy. Ultimately, follow your heart. Do things that makes you happy. Now that is the thing that will keep you going. It is very difficult. It's easy to say that, especially when you're young. It's very difficult. You know, you want to be like this. You want to become like that. You crave to look like in a certain manner. But after a point of time, in your 40s, that's where I am. When I turn and I look back, and I'm so convinced that, you know, just doing what pleases you is all that counts. And hard work is the key to whatever you call as success. Your definition of success could be different, but hard work will take you there.
Awesome. And if you have to add anything to that to tell parents, what would you say?
Firstly, I would like to appreciate and laud parents, because I too am a parent. Sometimes we think that that's something which comes very naturally, and you know, only I have challenges. Only now, I think throughout, as your child grows up, there are different sets of challenges, and along with your children, along with our children, we learn. I think that's the whole thing about parenting. There may be times when you feel like, oh my God, I think I have not done enough, but just keep going and keep doing what you think is right, whatever you feel. I think eventually things will fall into place, and especially when it comes to choices with respect to profession, career and stuff like that. I know I sound extremely preachy, actually, I don't, but more as a parent, if you ask me, just leave it. If that's the choice they have made, let them follow it. That's it. That's something which I believe in.
All right. And with that, we have actually come to the very end of this conversation, and it was very, very enlightening for me, inspiring for me, wonderful to listen to you, and I wish you all the success with everything that you have planned for Storypour, with all the other projects and everything that you have in place. And we did meet a few times in the past, and I hope we will have the chance to share the stage again in the future. And I hope that we can possibly collaborate as well. I think we can do wonderful work together. And thank you once again, Priya, for taking the time to be on this podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. I'm so happy that you firstly you invited me. Secondly, very kind of you. There are things that I do have forgotten, but you remembered. Thank you so much for all your kind words, your appreciation. I know that you are doing a fabulous job as well. To have a podcast and do all this, it's not easy. I know that. So you're doing an amazing job. Best wishes to you too. Looking forward to collaborate with you sometime in future. And thanks to everyone who's been watching this, who's been listening to my two cents. Be happy. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Troposphere and Troopercast, you can follow us on Instagram. The handle is @Troposphere. And make sure to check out this video when it's out on YouTube. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.